Welcome to The Firm Report, the show where we pull back the curtain on what it really takes to build and grow a successful law practice. Each week, we'll be talking with attorneys, marketing pros, and operational specialists from law firms around the country. We'll dig into real stories, smart strategies, and the practical tips that can help you grow your firm and serve your clients better. Let's get into it.
We come up with the perfect brand, the perfect ad, and the perfect, you know, strategy, and target the right audience, and then 50 phone calls come in and not one case results, and it's not our fault.
You said it earlier in the conversation, you said, or even when we first got on, you just said, like, who's your audience? Like, you talk to firms, and it's like, and that's one of the questions I ask, like, what demographic do you connect with most?
Really commanding data can help you minimize risk. Like, even when it comes to design, like right now, I'm recording this podcast with you and I'm getting hungry because you got red and yellow right behind you. And red and yellow make people hungry.
Where are the eyes? There's a step within what has to happen to make effective marketing. And there's firms we've marketed with, and it's like, you know, we know it's not our fault. It's like, we'll audit the calls, we'll hear the non-answers, we'll hear the lack of, like, you know, follow-up. There's a lot of things that go into it. There's even, you know, the ability to have a DocuSign, like get out, you know, the ability to get somebody to sign up with your firm fairly quickly. There's having an answering service. There's so many layers to it, right? And there's just, it gets pretty deep. Even having a CRM in place, you know, just like there's a lot that plays into it. And then once a case is signed, you know, which we haven't even talked about the other side, like once a case is signed, like, where are you managing your cases? There's layer upon layer, but I mean, we're mainly talking about the front end, right? You know, just the intake side of the house, the branding, the messaging, and that phone to ring, which is the most important to really, you know, grow a practice in any regard.
You know, sometimes it's not the marketing. Sometimes it's not the top of the funnel. Sometimes it's the journey. And then sometimes it's the sales and the case management and the customer service piece. And so, you know, I really think, you know, and this is one of the things that I love about my role and about the way I've built my company and the way my team works is, if your PPC vendor is using bots.
Well, no, there's definitely a lot of stages to the journey, right? We meet firms at all different levels. There's people that are entering the marketing game. There's people that are, you know, have been in the marketing game for 5, 10, 15 years. There's firms that we've worked with that are, you know, in every form of media, maybe a little bit imbalanced as to what they're doing from a marketing perspective. Or even, you know, in our local markets, we hear people where it's like, dude, you're completely imbalanced and you invest way too much in this specific medium. Or you see it in specific markets. Like, I'm in South Florida. There's a certain firm that's way too heavy on the radio. Yeah, they should be a little bit more on the internet, a little bit more on, you know, billboards. Like, they should have a little bit more diversity to spend because we know what the spends are. And you see a lot of just like, there's got to be balance, right? And you being a CMO, you know, chief marketing officer, it also sounds like the CMO doesn't sit alone on the CIO, CTO side, right? Like you're bridging into the CRM side, how they manage the phone calls, you're listening, you're auditing calls. So it's like, you're not just the CMO at the end of the day, and nobody who's a CMO is just a CMO at the end of the day, even anymore.
I've been told that a lot by clients, you know, that are obviously really happy and pleasantly surprised. Cause you know, when you hire a CMO, like it's hard to grasp until we're in there and you're like, oh wow, you do this too. I get that a lot. And I've had a lot of attorneys tell me, you've kind of become like my chief operations person too, because now I've got a leaner machine. And I'm like, yeah, that's not my job, but it's a side effect. Like it'll happen. We're going to look at all of it.
Yeah. Some of the more established firms, more veteran firms, like the COOs do run the marketing. They do run like a hybrid aspect of things beyond just the firm owner. This usually falls into the COO's lap where they're, you know, managing the purse strings or just, you know, moving the chips around on the table to make things happen. And, you know, it's a very interesting dynamic. And there's a lot of you know, vendors that have come along to assist in a lot of the stop gaps that you know, had, you know, touched on, you know, such as the customer journey, you know, answering the calls, paid ads management, SEO, even social media is its own beast, you know, production of content and assets. And there's a lot of layers to the magic that you see happening. And there's a lot of, you know, I have conversations with people all the time right now where it's like, look, creating social content, creating, you know, content and assets in general for digital media, it takes investment. It takes dollars and resources.
And time to think. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of advertisers out there, it's always been easy to just buy a billboard. Like it's a very easy way to spend a lot of money or go run TV ads. But if you want
to just put whatever out there. Yeah.
I mean, but if you watch the numbers from Netflix the other day from the Tyson fight, it was like the nail in the coffin for traditional media. And if you were out watching it at a bar, you literally saw these things called televisions, but they look like static art frames. Like there's nobody watching. Like from my kids sitting at the table saying, Dad, can I have your cell phone? Can I have your cell phone? To my wife on Instagram, like who the beep is watching the television and why are you floating this medium that's almost a dead medium, right? It's like the radios are still being bailed out by the governments, AM and FM.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you look at television, I'm not saying it's not a great way to build a brand. Yeah, we all have a drink at a bar and we're just looking at the TV talking to somebody. But at the end of the day, I mean, I went to the pizza shop with my boy last night. The CMAs, the Country Music Awards, are on. And the two dudes that turned it on are literally on their phones blasting TikTok and like looking at Facebook and IG. And here's the largest stars in country music blasting on the TV, Shaboozy and all this stuff. These guys are staring at their cell phones. Like, it's as if the TV didn't even exist on the wall. It's literally mind-blowing where media is going. We're in 2024 and it's becoming hyperspeed as to like multi-pronged approaches and where people are actually getting their clients from.
Yeah. And now that I'm hearing you, I'm thinking back. So when I was 17 years old, I was in the front page of the LA Times they did a news story on me and I got so much mail. I remember. Okay. Compare that to like a couple of years ago. And I'm not gonna tell you how old I am, but you know, it's been a while since that LA Times piece. I was on CNN, interviewed on CNN about the election. And three people called me. I saw you on CNN. Oh, cool. Like, that's it. When I was in high school and was a nobody, I got a ton of mail. Like, the visibility of that one front page news article compared to being on CNN, like, recently. That personal experience is like, wow, such a contrast. And I cut my marketing teeth at Nielsen. So I was at Nielsen when there was the digital transition, if you can remember that. When we went from over the air to cable and everybody was freaking out. Because over the air was like, you know, dying and the ratings were going nuts and, you know, Fox sued Nielsen and I was there during all of that. And now look at us. Now it's like, no one cares. Like,
I mean, yeah, the numbers are the numbers. The data is the data. It's wild. I mean, you talk about the newspaper. I still get the print newspaper. I mean, I said earlier, I get the newspaper because with digital, everybody's so siloed and you only see like what the algorithms think you want to see. So I never learn anything new if I'm just only looking at Facebook, Instagram, or even the news app on Apple to get my news. But when I get a print version of the Wall Street Journal, like I get my horizons are broadened, or I learn about things that I wasn't really even thinking about, or the data behind Wicked being released, like, which is all very
But you're special. You're unique. I mean, everybody else is what newspaper? What's that for?
I live in a very nice area here, out here in South Florida, and say there's 100 houses on my block. I think 7 or 8 of us get the newspaper. So there's like, you know, it's like, it's like, it's a very like minimal amount, you know, it's like, people try to like pierce traditional and how can I get published in the newspaper? It's like, you can publish and press release a news article and get to the top of Google like that. You just got to go via Newswire. I mean, there's a lot of ways to play the game or, you know, get in front of your funnel. It's like you said it earlier in the conversation, you said, or even when we first got on, you just said like, who's your audience? Like you talk to firms and it's like, and that's one of the questions I ask, like, what demographic do you connect with most that like when you look at your book of business, like who's signing with you? You know, it's huge.
Right. Yeah. And who's enjoying your customer experience and who's enjoying your core, what you have to offer. That's when you're ready to go deeper. You know, everybody always starts with the target avatar, this demo lives here, you know, I'm going to name it, whatever. And that's a good starting point. But then when you have some experience and can think a little bit, like you start to get into things like, you know, what do they pray about? Do they pray? You know, how do they feel? Like, what do they do every morning? Like, that's where it gets really interesting with marketing to then play with those things in your marketing.
Visit various places in the country, like, you know, various places within the United States, almost every region is another country because everybody kind of like communicates or looks at something differently. And I'm not going to go political, but even when you look at like the end of the political season, the two political stunts that really picked over the American public, one was serving McDonald's French fries. Even my 7-year-old boy was like, that guy's hilarious. He served French fries. And two, Joe Rogan podcast that had 200 million listens. Joe Rogan podcast. He could have been on the World Series. Like, there would not have been 200 million people reached. It's completely unbelievable. And they pulled out these stunts for 2 weeks of like getting people out to vote. But like that podcast here in 2024 was what really just like proverbially put the nail in the coffin on that election. In past years with Obama, it was Google. And then, you know, the last election, you know, there are certain things and it's like Twitter, it was a Twitter X, like the election before that. So you see all these, like, that's Facebook's era. And then this last one, it seems it might've been that Joe Rogan podcast that was like maybe the proverbial tipping point of really just getting an audience to do things. And both sides were offered the opportunity. That's the amazing part. Only one side, the winning side, was the one that actually went onto the podcast. So
And that touches on another phenomenon in marketing, especially in the legal space, whether we like it or not, personal branding is huge.
Huge.
And there's a lot of attorneys out there that just don't embrace it, that want the workaround. Just, you know, tell me how to grow. Tell me how to, you know, tell me what I gotta buy. You know, it's like, you gotta be authentic. What's that?
You gotta get on the camera. Like, you gotta kind of like break your comfort zone a little bit. You know, even, we're both like, you know, we both know LeDuc. They do a lot of podcasts for attorneys. We have a client on there, and they're like, as the podcast got going, the referral kick that they're getting just amplifies all of the numbers. And then it also helps them convert, because here you have the lead associate at the firm or the lead partner on the mic, on the video. Like, if you want to go check them out or hear about them, you go there and they're top of mind.
Yeah. And they're likable, and the recall when you need them is a lot better when they have a personal brand.
I mean, look, in marketing and business, we both know not everybody's going to love you or like you as a result of what you put out there, but you're going to connect. You're going to have better probability of connecting with someone if you put yourself out there.
And that's what's cool about marketing, is that there are so many numbers out there to go after. I think people get so concerned with, oh, if I niche down too much, or if I'm too much myself, these people are not going to like me. But there's so many of the ones that you do. Like, take a divorce attorney, for example, right? You can say, I'm for men. I am for men in divorce cases. And you're like, oh, I'm going to exclude women. There's so many men. You'll have plenty of business. It's okay. Just go after the men. You know, it's okay.
That's the population, right?
That's my point. Like, so many people hesitate to be themselves and to niche down and to say who they really like to work with, because they think they're going to be missing out. And I think you miss out more when you're not as clear and specific, because the emotional factor of being authentic, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think, yeah, like for me personally, in my personal journey, once I said, you know what, I like working with attorneys, you know, and I had others, and like, I feel like my business just grew, and like my life got better even, because I was working with people that are more compatible. I have dark sense of humor. They have a dark sense of humor. We like nerdy jokes. They like nerdy jokes. So, oh, this is great. Like, it actually worked out better. And yeah, every once in a while, you know, I work with non-attorneys and all of that. So that still happens. Like, if a client is meant for you and you're being authentic, even if you're niching down and telling them in the face, this is the kind of client that I like to work with, they'll still say, oh, but would you work with me? Like, they'll still want to work with you.
Correct.
It'll work out.
It definitely happens. I mean, I like to use, you know, you're coming from Nielsen, right? So like, you know, when you look at in marketing, people are very sensitive. Or when you start to like try to say like, hey, you should be doing this or that, people get a little sensitive. I personally like to use real data, facts, like things that you see like in the newspaper, right? And I go back to politics. Like, you look at the political spectrum of just like how they market and advertise, or like even how they've acknowledged the Hispanic population in a greater amount. Like, there's just like, there's specific socio demographics that they call out as they're going into like political season that broadens the spectrum for marketing and advertisers, where they like, you're not immune to it, right? Like, if this is how the most powerful offices in specific regions, communities, and the country are being, you know, essentially positioned, manipulated through advertising and marketing, you got to take some lessons in the playbook.
Data can, really commanding data can help you minimize risk. Like, even when it comes to design, like right now, I'm recording this podcast with you and I'm getting hungry because you got red and yellow right behind you. And red and yellow make people hungry. I mean, granted, it's kind of lunchtime, but that, why do you think McDonald's went with red? Yeah, so anyway. There's data on everything. And I love that. I think that's great. And I never have to hurt anybody's feelings on purpose. I can just quote data. I don't have to give you my opinion. I don't have to tell you.
The data behind Wicked is actually pretty wild, in my opinion, because Wall Street Journal wrote it up, right? You want to hear some random data?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so it's a prequel of Wizard of Oz, an instant classic, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about 20 plus years now. How much revenue do you think Wicked's produced pre-movie at this point? Just through
the gosh, I have no idea. I don't know. Millions, billions, I don't know.
$5 billion. $5 billion. Wow. And this is like Universal's big bet. And Universal owns TV stations, declining viewership, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's like they're focused in on Ariana Grande, everything that Wicked's going to bring to the table. They're measuring it on social influence. They're calling it like a social movie experience. And they're comparing it to Barbie. And they're saying it's going to be bigger than Barbie. Mm-hmm. And the stat that they're measuring is average number of tickets sold per unit of people that are going to be going to see the movie as like.
Okay.
So for Barbie, it was at 2.4. And Wicked is at about 2.8. So they're assuming that more people are going to go see it in groups, and that it's going to just like have this virility that's going to pick up right at, you know. Yeah, but the whole thing with Wicked, it's just, you look at the masters of like marketing, which are the companies that basically control marketing, and what they're saying about media is so interesting. Like, even the NBA signs a record contract on declining viewership. Like, connecting the dots there, it's just like, you look at them paying the NBA, it's like $80 billion for TV rights, knowing that TV viewership is declining for the NBA. But they said they don't have any other perfect bet for what they know people would actually be watching. So they're taking the bet on live sports and entertainment.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
And then
amazing.
it's amazing. And even when you get into like streaming or what you see like happening with like, I say like the NFL, right? NFL is one of the top, brands in a lot of ways for just marketing advertising dollars. And they're giving Amazon the ability to cover their events on Thursday nights. As a sports fan, I haven't had a worse experience watching an NFL game than watching
Really?
a game on Thursday night on Amazon. It's as if like they couldn't hire somebody from CBS or Fox to take over their broadcast. And like it's choppy. It's like here's the NFL taking their brand, their loyalty, and pairing it up with just the bet on the future, which is outside of like mainstream broadcast, which is it's just I think a sign of the times when it comes to media and advertising. Like, where are the eyes? I mean, me as an individual, without even thinking twice, like, yeah, I know they're on Google, but they're not on Google. They're on Google when they have intent and they need something, but they're on Facebook and Instagram or TikTok or X, like whatever that media, whatever that socio demo. I mean, where do you think they are? I mean, I don't want to answer the
But
question.
it's not just about the eyes. And I have this conversation a lot when law firms are trying to figure out how to distribute, for example, paid ads budget. Do they put it in social or do they put it in Google? And it's like there's a lot of eyes on social, but what are they there for?
Yeah, the
What are they there
intent's not
for?
there. The
They're not
intent.
there looking for a lawyer because they just got hurt. They're gonna go to Google for that.
For
So,
sure.
and I'm not saying don't do social media. Like I usually advise, attorneys to maybe consider, for the most part, more the search, right? Because we're searching with intent. So
Correct.
it's the quality and the intent and the psychology and the attention span. The attention span. If I'm hurt and I'm looking for an attorney, or if I'm in the middle of a divorce and I'm looking for an attorney, I'm gonna have a longer attention span on that landing page in that Google ad that you put together for me than if I'm minding my business and just kind of scrolling through and trying not to think about my problems and you show me an ad.
It's true. It's like that legacy thing in marketing. It's that last click attribution, right? That's like been the conversation for the past like 2 decades at trade shows as I've gone for like search, like, oh, the last search where they actually converted was my brand. Yeah, but they had a search journey leading up to it, or some type of like influential journey that got them there. I totally agree with you where
Yeah,
Google is still the leader in paid ads.
and there's a lot there are a lot of firms that go crazy with paid and they ignore brand. And then they get to a ceiling, they're like, why can't I get my cost per case any lower? Because no one knows you.
Well,
There's no consistency because you're using, like VAs or whatever, like their image and likeness. And yeah, to a certain point, that's going to work because your strategy is great and all that. But like, if you don't have that brand recognition, you're going to hit a ceiling.
you hit the nail on the head, right? Because as a marketer and advertiser, it's like where, at the end of the day, when you're marketing and advertising, you're a big objective of your marketing and advertising. A large portion of it should be direct response, but layered on top of that should be branding. Because if you're spending all this money in marketing and advertising, and what I find funny is like the advertisers that love to discount the value of a brand conversion. It's like, why? What's the logic in that? Like, oh, so.
Listen, let me give you, let me get, it's like going to the prom in shorts and a t-shirt. Why?
I agree. It's like because somebody searched Google, it's because they knew it was Google. The largest brands in the world have all built a brand, and then what they sell and the service is all a byproduct.
Branding can get expensive if that's all you do. You have to have a balance. That's what
For
we
sure.
try to help people do because a lot of firms, there's an imbalance. Like some are pouring way too much into branding and they're ignoring digital. So it's like the visibility and the search is all there, but the actual conversion is slow as molasses because they've got that digital bottleneck. The person goes to Google you and they can't figure out where your website is. They can't find you on Google My Business, but they saw all your billboards around town. That's
Well,
also not good.
what I find interesting too is because digital has been something that like we lay a primary on, but I've had the fortune of doing advertising and marketing for nationwide companies, some of the largest direct response advertisers you've seen on television, like we've represented in digital space. And the reality is the amount of money that's being thrown at traditional, if you took some of those same dollars and you threw them at digital and building a brand, like from asset and creative development, just random clicks on Facebook, Meta, random impressions on YouTube, and just like some
Viral
of the
content.
Yeah, it's like you hear everybody talking about like all this journey of like OTT and this. Like, you couldn't even like if you wanted to pinpoint me and show me an OTT ad for myself, like you could barely predict if you would ever even be able to show it to me. But if you were running like Facebook, Meta, like Instagram, or like YouTube ads, like I as a consumer would be able to see that stuff. It's like, why venture into the third tier when the primary networks are still like so tangibly affordable? Like YouTube has some of the widest viewership of almost like. I think they probably have more reach than Comcast and Xfinity right now. If I had to guess between YouTube TV sponsoring the NBA Finals, the Super Bowl, I have YouTube TV. I'm sure a lot of people do. Like a lot of people do. It's been Yeah, the cord only allows for cable access right now, but like the cable product is not, I don't think the consumer's there anymore.
No, I mean, at least not enough.
Yeah,
There are
not,
some.
yeah, it's,
Yeah.
you know, like I would dare some advertisers out there. If you got, yeah, if you're spending 50,000, 100,000 a month on like a radio
Right.
campaign or a TV campaign with minimal attribution, like throw that same money at a YouTube campaign or like a Facebook and Insta campaign, not some like random, like, oh, we're gonna hit this socio demo. Like, hit the socio demos through those mediums and see what happens. Like, I believe that
Right.
you could definitely, like,
Because they're sitting there like this, and they can just go like this and respond versus.
some of the biggest brands, some of the biggest personas, like, have been built purely off of this. Like, traditional media has lost their grasp on like the Gary V's of the world, the Grant Cardones, like some of these
Yeah.
influencers that have built huge empires. It's all been built through social media.
Yeah. It's
And
beautiful. It makes things harder for some people, but it makes them easier for others. What you just described, if you can get with that, your business can grow a lot faster and it can be a lot easier than how it was decades ago, where your only choice to get in front of people was to pay big money to the big networks and that was it, you know?
no, it's definitely a piece of the pie. So, you know, from the CMO seat over there, I guess, what's you got a good story for me on like some epic results you've driven, or even like where you've come into a seat and maybe like made something that much more efficient, or what you got?
Yeah. So one case study that I can share with you is, I had an attorney that I started working with after they had had what I call marketing PTSD because they hired an agency and I won't go into the weeds of what happened there, but when I got there, they'd already been in business for 10 years and they had a website, they had built some, momentum on social media. But when I got there, they had no website, nothing was happening on the, like everything just kind of fell apart. So I came in and I hired and vetted, people to like start running the social media. And this was on a shoestring budget, right? I still remember having the conversation with the attorney and I'm like, you realize you're asking me to walk on water with this budget that you're giving me to work with. And he's like, And I'm like, I like a challenge. Let's see what we can do. And so we found, we built a website. We put together a team, put together the brand guide, all of that. And we saw in about, oh, and email marketing, because they had a huge database that they weren't even leveraging. So we cleaned up all that data and, got everybody approved to do mass emailing and all of that. It took a minute. And within 6 months, we had seen about 25 to 35% increase without spending more money in their marketing, just by cleaning up the budget or just by better investing or improving the way we were investing the budget that we had to work with and
Nice.
building efficient processes. So we did things like that to use the same budget so we didn't have to spend more because we were on a shoestring budget, but we were able to accomplish more. And we saw within 6 months about that increase. And a lot of it was through remarketing, email marketing. Who knew?
Well, remarketing is huge. I mean, it's definitely through a lot of platforms. I know you say email, but you know, there's a lot of ways. If Meta has a great
Yeah,
remarketing
oh yeah.
network.
Email, text, to existing lists, not all of it, PPC, like all those things. But it's just the cheapest per case was email marketing.
Yeah.
Referral partners sent in more referrals, existing clients or previous clients sent in more referrals. So that went up with that effort.
No, for sure. I mean, it's
Yeah.
definitely, look, I mean, we've seen a hyper evolution in marketing advertising, especially from your days on being on the cover of the newspaper to Nielsen, and you know, the impact of what you saw with CNN, you know, from your recent interview. Well, congrats on that, you know. But do you have anything
Yeah.
else? You know, definitely, Margarita, I definitely appreciate you joining us today. And how can people find you? Can you tell us a bit?
So you can find me on social media. I'm super active all over social media, whatever social media platform you like, I'm probably there. And it's just Margarita Eberlein is my handle. We do have like the Marketing Boss CMO handle as well. And then my website is marketingdashboss.com. And then we also have an app that you can download for free. That's how
Very
you can
cool.
find me. Yeah.
Congrats on your book
And right
release.
now, find me in Colombia. That's where I am. I'm not Colombian, by the way, but I travel here a lot.
Nice. Well, congrats on the book release. And Margarita, thank you for joining us. It's Margarita Eberlein with Marketing Boss. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Zach, for having me.
That's it for today's episode of The Firm Report, brought to you by Exalts, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights. If you enjoyed the conversation, make sure to like, subscribe, and share the show with someone who'd find it valuable. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.